Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now going to cover Psalms 122. I will entitle this psalm, Let Us Go to the House of the Lord. The heading of the psalm is this, a song of ascents of David. That's ascents, A-S-C-E-N-T-S, of David. So we know who the psalmist is. It was David, assuming the header is accurate, which I always do. Now, what does a song of ascents mean? Here's four options from the NIV Study Bible. Ascents can mean music that went up in pitch. It's a song that goes up in pitch. I don't think so. Second option, it's a song that is sung referring to the steps of the Jews returning from captivity as they return from Babylon and they walk up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem's on a hill. So it's a song of ascents. Coming back from captivity, the singers are. Option number three, it's a song sung as the Levitical singers walked up the steps of the temple doing their temple service of music. They sing and they walk up, so it's a song of ascents. I think that's reasonable. The fourth option, it refers to, according to this option, the steps of a pilgrim coming up to Jerusalem singing this psalm. Now, Adam Clark agrees with that. GotQuestions.org agrees with that. I'm going to take that as the most reasonable speculation as to what a song of ascent is. A pilgrim who comes up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's on a hill, and he's singing his psalm as he comes to one of the three required festivals in Jerusalem, Passover, Weeks, and Tabernacle. Now, there are 15 psalms with this title. This is the third of those 15 psalms. David is the author of four of them, and this psalm here is written by David. Solomon wrote one of them, and the other 10 are anonymous. So with that background, let's begin. Psalms 122, verses 1 through 2. David says this, I rejoiced with those who said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. And that's where we get the title for this psalm, or I got it. Actually, I got it from the ESV, Let us go to the house of the Lord. David says that, Let us go to the house of the Lord. He rejoiced with those who said to me, Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Now that phrase, Let us go to the house of the Lord, makes it sound like the singers of this psalm are not really the Levitical singers, because they are already in the house of the Lord, but it sounds like it's pilgrims outside of the house of the Lord and who are going to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown thinks that way. He says, quote, this psalm might well express the sacred joy of the pilgrims on entering the holy city. Now notice of my three options I gave you as to what song of ascents meant, this phrase, let us go to the house of the Lord, would fit three of those options. It could refer to Jews returning from captivity, option two. It could refer to songs sung as singers walking up the steps of the temple, but as I say, it doesn't quite fit because the singers are already in the temple, but you could make it fit if you worked at it. And then option number four, my preferred option, it can refer to the steps of a pilgrim coming up to Jerusalem singing this psalm. Now David says, let us go to the house of the Lord. What is the house of the Lord? Well, it's the tabernacle. Now this is David's tabernacle, not Moses' tabernacle. Moses' tabernacle, after its long wanderings from Mount Sinai all the way through Israel all over the place, ended up at Gibeon. David took the ark from Kiriath-Jearim, took it to Jerusalem, and then he built a new tabernacle, which I call David's tabernacle. And of course, it is not the temple, because the temple wasn't built during David's time. It wasn't built until the time of David's son, Solomon. And I'm assuming that David wrote this psalm. So when he says, let us go to the house of the Lord, he's saying, let's go to the tabernacle. We go now to verses 3 through 4 of Psalms 122. David continues, Jerusalem that is built as a city that is compact together, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, an ordinance for Israel to give thanks to the name of the Lord. The NASB, from which I just read, and the KJV, and the NASB, and the NIV all have this phrase as a city that is compact together. Well, what could compact mean? It could mean physically compacted together. As John Gill says, in David's time, the upper and lower city were joined together, the streets regularly built, the houses contiguous, not straggling about here and there. That's option one. Option two, it could be that compact means that Jerusalem is united politically. Adam Clark says this, quote, the center of union to all the tribes, for each tribe has an equal interest in that God who is worshipped there. Sounds reasonable enough. Here's option number three. Jerusalem could be said to be united spiritually because all the tribes go to worship God in the tabernacle there. And of course, it could be all three of those, that Jerusalem is physically, politically, and spiritually compact, united, unified, the center of the nation of Israel. Now there's another translation of this verse that's kind of interesting. Psalms 122 verse 3, the Holman Christian Study Bible. Jerusalem built as a city should be, solidly joined together. Now the should be is in brackets, which means it's not in the original text. And so the Holman Christian Study Bible wants to help us out a little bit, give us a little interpretation. Jerusalem built as a city should be. In other words, built as a city ought to be. The ideal city is solidly joined together. Not compact, but solidly joined together, which I think is a better translation. Now in verse 4, David says, Jerusalem is the city to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. That's, of course, the famous 12 tribes. An ordinance for Israel. The NIV has, according to the statute given to Israel. This is a famous statute, so I will read it. Be careful that you do not offer your burnt offerings. This is Deuteronomy 12, verses 13 through 14. Be careful that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every cultic place you see, but in the place where the Lord chooses in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Now that statute doesn't name Jerusalem in particular. It states in verse 14, the place where the Lord chooses. Well, later on, God chose Jerusalem. Using David the king, David chose Jerusalem. The NIV Study Bible says David chose Jerusalem when David brought the ark there to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 6:12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. Obed-Edom lived at Kiriath-Jearim, where the ark was kept after its sojourn in Philistine territory. David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so that's where the ark went. That's the place where God had chosen. So if we take the NIV translation, we would read, the tribes of Israel go up, even the tribes of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. They go to Jerusalem according to that statute that says they're supposed to go to Jerusalem. Well, the KJV translates it differently. The KJV translates, unto the testimony of Israel. So the tribes go up unto the testimony of Israel. Well, if you take that translation, what does that mean? It could be the Ark of the Testimony, because the Ark was called the Testimony of Israel. Jameson Fawcett Brown says that if you put unto in the translation, that this may indeed denote the Ark, but it's iffy. The tribes are going up unto the Ark. Ordinances is translated as testimony, then testimony is applied to ark. Well, I think that's a stretch. Jameson Fawcett Brown says another option as to how you can interpret the KJV translation, the tribes go up unto the testimony of Israel. Jameson Fawcett Brown say that refers to the tribes going up as a public testimony, which was according to the law. In Deuteronomy 16:16, we see this, three times in a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, that's Jerusalem, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, feast number one, at the Feast of Weeks, feast number two. Unleavened Bread is in the spring, Feast of Weeks is in the summer, and at the Feast of Booths in the autumn. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Well, Jameson Fawcett Brown says that this going up to Jerusalem three times a year is a testimony. But Israel, I think it's better just to translate it as ordinance, as a part of the law, and we read it straightforward. The tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord. This is an ordinance for Israel. Where's the ordinance? Right here in Deuteronomy 16:16. You go up for the three feasts. And I believe that's the ordinance that the psalmist was referring to. Now, he could have been referring to Deuteronomy 12. Instead of Deuteronomy 16:16, where the three feasts are mentioned, he could have been referring to Deuteronomy 12, where Jerusalem, the place where the Lord chooses, is said to be the reference, but I don't think so. So all that was just a complicated way of saying that it was a law in Israel that all the tribes would go up to Jerusalem. And why do they do that at the end of verse 4? To give thanks to the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving. God demands it. He wants it. And we're happy to give it to him. If we give it to him, we are blessed. We go now to Psalms 122, verses 5 through 9, and we will finish this short psalm. David continues, for there, that's Jerusalem, thrones were set for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. In verse 5, David says, thrones are set up in Jerusalem for judgment. What does that refer to? Here's a couple of options. The NIV Study Bible says this is a metaphor to picture any position of authority. Thrones, i.e. authority, was set up for judgment in Jerusalem. For example, it could be a priest set up for authority. It could be a judge, a judicial judge, a military leader. Gill and Clark say, on the other hand, it doesn't mean authority metaphorically, but it means literal thrones upon which the judicial judges of Israel sat to render their judgment. I think either one of those options is equally reasonable, so I'll report that one, let you decide it. These thrones were of the house of David. The house of David, I assume, is his ruling family, the ruling dynasty. He was the government, and the thrones were the authority in the government. And then in verse 6, David says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that shalom peace. That word signifies both peace and prosperity. And you'll notice that peace and prosperity are mentioned both in verses 6, 7, and 8. In verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Verse 7, may peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. There's peace and prosperity. And verse 8, may peace be within you. That's a great prayer. Everybody loves peace and prosperity. Now, David was very much a warrior. He was noted for that. He was a fantastic warrior, especially when he was young. He was whipping up on Philistines and the troops of Saul during the Jewish Civil War when Saul was king and was chasing David all through the desert. David was a warrior, but he wanted peace. There's sort of an ironical aspect to military leaders. They love peace. I remember when I first came across that sentiment, this general won't fight. He doesn't want to break up his new shiny army. They spend so much time getting the army built up and strong and shiny and professional. And then when it comes time to fight, oh, we don't want to send this army into battle. It'll get shot up. And so then the general becomes a peacenik. Well, whatever the motives, David wanted peace now. He had established peace. He had beat his enemies. And now he wanted to enjoy it. Now, prosperity, the same prosperity that David prayed for, he wanted prosperity to be within the palaces of Jerusalem, verse 7. He said in verse 6, he wanted that everyone who loved Jerusalem would prosper. We need to remember that the Hebrew word for prosperity is more than financial prosperity. It includes other kinds of prosperity. It basically means success. Now, this is a language problem, a translation problem, I believe. For example, if you have trouble with the relationships in your family and you want to get them worked out and you pray for success and having it worked out, you would not say, God, give me prosperity in my family relations. We just don't talk that way. When we say prosperity, we mean money. And unfortunately, the prosperity gospel in America has taken that word and run with it. And every time they see it, they say, see there, God wants you to be rich. But prosperity is more than just money. It's success. Now, I don't know what David meant by prosperity here. Prosperity within your palaces. He very well could here be meaning financial prosperity. But just in general, that word doesn't necessarily mean that. It means success in all areas of life. For example, you could be a success at art and you're not making a dime off of it. You could be a success at your hobby, but you're not making any money off of it. You would, to use the Hebrew way of saying it, you would be prosperous at your hobby. You would be prosperous at your art. We don't talk that way. Now in verse 8, David says, for the sake of my brothers and my friends, I will now say, may peace be within you. Why? For the sake of his brothers and his friends, because if there's no war, there's peace, they're going to be happy. He wants their happiness as well as his happiness. In verse 9, David says, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The house of David in verse 5 was referring to the dynasty of David. In verse 9, the house of the Lord is talking about the tabernacle. We assume David wrote the psalm, so it must be the tabernacle. And David says, for the sake of that tabernacle, I will seek your good. He will seek the good of Jerusalem, your good, the city of Jerusalem. He's talking to Jerusalem, because if Jerusalem is prosperous and safe and peaceful, well, then the tabernacle will be prosperous, safe, and peaceable. And then the tabernacle will be safe and prosperous and peaceful because the tabernacle is in Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, we have now finished Psalms 122, verses 5 through 9. We're prepared to go to Psalms 123 in our next audio. It's only 4 verses long. We will call it Our Eyes Looked to the Lord Our God. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.